Good afternoon. Welcome to God's house as we come to study His Word together again. Would you turn to John chapter 3? We're still in John chapter 3. And we're going to read there from verse 16. We looked at this last week, but the three verses left in the discourse is what we're going to look at today. So we'll pick up the reading at verse 16, the well-known John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And then our text for today from verse 19. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world. People love darkness rather than the light because their deeds, works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his work should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. If you wanted a heading for this sermon today, it's the beginning of judgment in our text from verses 19 to 21. Well, we left our study last week in Jesus' discourse with Nicodemus, right about at the end of their meeting, which we'll conclude today. In these last three verses. In our study last week, we observed Christ's three great certainties to Nicodemus in the light of his uncertainty regarding the new birth, in spite of Christ's explanations to a man who should have got it because of his knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures. And Christ's certainties to him were the Son of Man must die, and through Christ's death, and by faith in him, there's eternal life to those who believe. Wonderful message, and these early chapters of Gospel of John is full of the gospel, so you're going to hear the gospel over and over again until later in the book. Secondly, the great undeserved love of God we looked at in John 3:16. And then thirdly and finally, the refusal to believe invites condemnation. Refusal to believe invites condemnation. What a shocking truth comes to those who refused to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, as we saw in verse 18 last week. After the great John 3:16 and 17 of the great love of God, it was made clear that those who spurn the great love of God in Christ Jesus are condemned already. They were assured to be condemned in the judgment of that great day as if they were condemned already. Not only the future judgment and condemnation, but it is, in fact, says John, a present condemnation. The curse has already taken a hold of them. The wrath of God, as it were, now fastens on them. They are condemned already, for their own hearts condemn them. The present and future condemnation of those who refuse to believe is grounded on their unbelief, their former guilt, as with all mankind who refuse to come to Christ for pardon. They are condemned already, for they lay open to the law for all their sins. The obligation of the law is in full force, power and virtue against them, because they are not interested in the gospel. They are condemned already because they have not believed. Matthew Henry says, unbelief may truly be called the great damning sin, because it leaves us under the guilt of all our other sins. It is a sin against the remedy, against our appeal, our only appeal. Well, the subject of condemnation continues today as we study these last three verses of Jesus' discourse with Nicodemus, verses 19 to 21. And I have five short observations today, mostly very short observations today. And they each start with the words, when Christ came into the world. When Christ came into the world, Firstly, the judgment started because the gospel of light came into the world. The gospel of light came into the world. First part of verse 19 says, "And this is the judgment, the light has come into the world." Light is self-evidencing, and so the gospel, it proves its own light in its divine origin. Light is discovering and revealing, and truly the light is sweet and rejoices the heart of those who believe and are drawn to it, as we'll see later on in this text. It is a light in a shining place, and a dark place indeed the world would be without the light of the gospel if Christ had not come. Unlike earlier times when the light of the gospel is foreshadowed in the Old Testament, it only came to the ancient people of God. And the true light of the gospel is no longer confined to one little corner of the world as the Old Testament light was. The light of where the Word came first by creation, and then by the prophets of old, as we know. That was the Word of Christ being revealed in many and various ways, as Hebrews tells us in the Old Testament. That light has now fully come. That Word has fully come in His Son. What was veiled and shadowed has now been replaced by the true light to shine throughout the whole world. It was prophesied in the Old Testament, and in Acts we're reminded of that in chapter 13, verse 47. "For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." It has come to all the world. Paul, speaking to the Colossians, speaking of the gospel that has come to mostly Gentile believers, says in chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, "Of this you have heard before, the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed to the whole world, is bearing fruit and increasing, or as it also does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth." Now the light has come. We observe this in the early verses of the first chapter of John, making clear to us that this light has come. The true light that enlightens every man is the very Son of God. 1 John chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it." Now, Romans 1 describes for us so well how men lived and continue to live in utter darkness. Those who refuse to come to this light, their foolish hearts darkened, having exchanged the truth of God for a lie, living under the judgment and the condemnation of God. Jesus Christ is the light, the gospel. The very fact that he has come means that judgment has also come. It has started. All is now exposed. This is the good news for those who have believed and will believe. But for those who have not believed, this is condemnation and sure judgment to come. John 3, 18, 19, "Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the only name, the Son of God. This is the judgment," says our text now. The light has come into the world. Like men on death row, just waiting for that sure sentence of death to be carried out, unless a pardon is received or arrives in due time, a reprieve. Remember Malachi and many of the Old Testament writings, they did not always make a distinction between the first and the second coming of Christ. And they viewed the coming of the Messiah as a refining process and a process of judgment. For with his coming, the judgment has started. Sin has been exposed by the light, by Christ coming into the world. Malachi 3, 1-5, we studied this recently. "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he's like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purify of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi, refine them like gold and silver, and they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in your former years. Then he says in verse 5, then I will draw near to you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppress the hired worker in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, against those who thrust aside the sojourner, and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. And again, I must warn you, if you're an unbeliever here today, and you say, there is time for grace, there will be time later to come to the light, the word of God comes to you today warning you, the light has come. The word of God comes to you today warning you, the exposure of all that has been hidden and shrouded in darkness has begun. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world. When Christ came into the world, the judgment started because the gospel of light came into the world. We observe in the second place, when Christ came into the world, the judgment started because men love darkness rather than light. Because men love darkness rather than light. In verse 19 of our text, this is a judgment. Light is coming to the world, and then, and people love the darkness rather than light. Now, I grew up in Zululand, which is KwaZulu-Natal, on the north coast of South Africa. And it's a hot and very humid climate where I grew up. The Natal North Coast was a perfect breeding ground for cockroaches. Big, nasty cockroaches. And California has a fair share. Those hated creatures who by hook or by crook find their way into your home. Whether you have a clean home or not, they fly in. They come through the drain pipes. They get in into your house or your kitchen, anywhere where there was food. And they, like all mankind, love darkness rather than light. And the light exposed their dark deeds of our invading house and our food. And I remember times going to the kitchen in the middle of night for the snack or whatever it is, switching on the light, which sends those cockroaches scurrying into dark places that they preferred. It was scary at first, but they dispersed and disappeared. They hated the light. And so it was when the gospel light came into this world. In these last days when God has spoken in his Son, the light has come, but it has not been well received. And it has not been accepted. It has not been welcomed. In fact, for the most part it was, and it is still today, hated because it has exposed evil deeds. Deeds done in darkness, and men like cockroaches have scurried off when the light of the gospel came into the world, the gospel of truth. This was also made clear in our study in the first chapter. You may remember this is not the first talk of the light and definitely not the last in the gospel of John. Verses 9 to 13, the true light which gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own people, and they did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed on his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And as we've seen in this gospel early on, many inquisitive people had the knowledge of Christ and of his doctrine and his miracles, and even Nicodemus here talking to Jesus, but so many were prejudiced against him, would not believe him. For the most part, it was and is today. People are careless and foolish and would not know him. And this is the condemnation, the sin that ruined them. The light has come into the world, and they love darkness rather than light. Matthew Henry says, The Jews loved the dark shadows of the law, the instructions of their blind guides, rather than the doctrines of Christ. The Gentiles loved their superstitious services of an unknown God, whom they ignorantly worshipped, rather than the reasonable service which the gospel enjoins. Sinners that were wedded to their lusts loved their ignorance and their mistakes, which supported them in their sins, rather than the truths of Christ, which would have parted them from their sins. Man's apostasy began in a desire of forbidden knowledge, but is kept up a desire for forbidden ignorance. Wretched man is in love with his sickness, in love with his slavery, and he will not be made free, will not be made whole. When Christ came into the world, the judgment started because men loved darkness rather than light. Let's observe in the third place, when Christ came into the world, the judgment started because their works were evil. Because their works were evil. Verse 19 and 20 of our text, and this is a judgment. Light has come into the world. People love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And verse 20, for everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works be exposed. Well, I don't know why I kept thinking about South Africa in this study, but I can never forget, and this is fresh in my mind like it happened yesterday. My brother and I were like 5 and 6 years old. In South Africa, we were a family of eight, so it was a big family. We were the two youngest. I just had one younger sister. And we used to go into my older sister's room frequently, especially when a 10-cent coin appeared on her dresser. And that was on her dressing table. That was not a mean amount of money in 50 years ago when I was that age. And as we were to find out, it was quite a lot of money, that 10 cents. But we eventually couldn't help ourselves, and we conspired together when no one but my grandma was home, who was deaf and blind, and in her room. And so we stole that money, my brother and I, and we bought ourselves an enormous amount of candy for two little boys. And I remember coming back to the house, but it was too late. People may come home. And we wanted to go somewhere where we wouldn't be seen and found. And so we went into one of the bedrooms. We closed the curtains. We closed the door. We climbed underneath the bed, and we lay there in the dark eating candy until we got sick. And the end of the story was horrible. We got found out. Point is, friends, that is why men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. The light of the gospel that exposes every dark deed, sin, and hatred towards God. Men love darkness because their deeds were evil. Brothers and sisters and friends, the law of God is hated today. And God has revealed the sinfulness of sin in the sending of his Son. The breach of the holy law of God has been made clear and plain when Christ came. The light of the gospel is exposing every wicked deed, and it becomes more and more apparent that the heart of man is deceitful above all things, desperately sick, that all mankind in their natural state are dead in their trespasses and sins. And so men continue with their evil deeds. They hate the light. They scurry from it like cockroaches. Men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And friends, you may be here today and say to yourself, this is a doomsday message, but these are the facts of the gospel. And we need to remember that God's loving, gracious, and merciful design in sending the Lord Jesus Christ with the light of the gospel is to bring a reprieve and to pardon to the death row prisoners such as you and I. And we saw that last week. He came into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. This is the gospel. This is the light that has come into the world, and its purpose in exposing evil deeds is to show us the sinfulness of sin, to show us the great evil and the offense that our evil deeds have against a holy God, to make us aware of the great price that was paid at Calvary for the sin of his people. Friends, may this light, this exposure of our sin, drive us to Christ for mercy, for faith in him, for repentance from sin, and no longer cause us to scurry like cockroaches back to dark places because our deeds were evil. Pastor Sam said it this morning, we just need to hold out our hands in faith and those blessings get poured. The reprieve comes from sure condemnation for our sin. And brothers and sisters, let us rejoice in the light. Let's worship the Son, the Lamb that was slain. As we'll see in a moment, let's use the light. Let's continually be drawn to it, even when we sin. We need not hide because the cross of Christ is a continual fountain of pardon and forgiveness to all who believe on him. And friends, I urge you, if you don't know Christ, stop running from the light, for it will continue to expose every dark deed until the final day when it will bring judgment upon you for every deed that you have ever done. Leave the darkness. Hate the sin. Come seek the cure. It is here. Run towards the light. Come to Christ while there is time. The call of the gospel didn't come when Christ came into the world. It is as old as the Bible itself, Isaiah 55:7. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him run from the darkness. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him and to our God who will abundantly pardon. When Christ came into the world, the judgment started because their deeds were evil. Well, you may say, listen, I don't want to hear this today. I cannot accept this. You prefer perhaps to remain in your ignorance, and you'll take the chances. You'll take your chances. If the gospel is true, then a loving God will look kindly on your ignorance. This brings us to our fourth observation. Fourthly, when Christ came into the world, the judgment started because willful ignorance is never an excuse for sin. And at the great day, it will aggravate condemnation. Willful ignorance is never an excuse for sin, and at the great day it will aggravate condemnation. Verse 20 says to us, for everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. Even in our darkened world, when the truth of God had been clouded, and men continue to try to hide it, and even when the laws of our land are often morally depraved and against the law of God, calling good evil and evil good, even in this truth-forsaken world, our laws of the land in which we live have never been viewed as ignorance has never been viewed as a motive for pardon or excuse from the penalty of the law. You may hide from the laws. You may prefer to remain ignorant for the most part, hide from the laws of our land, which are not hidden, but you remain culpable. And when convicted of breaking the law, ignorant or not, you will face the punishment of the law. Friends, you may successfully hide from some of the laws and escape them of this land, but the all-seeing eye of God knows your every deed, and without Christ, without gospel light, you will face the punishment of your sin, which is eternal death. A holy God cannot and will not pardon sin that has not been paid. You will face the full weight of the wrath of God for your sin outside of Christ. Yes, Christ endured the full wrath of God. He spared not his only begotten Son, because of his holiness. The debt had to be settled to redeem his people. This is just due process. And now for those who believed on his Son, come to the light, repented of their sin, There is therefore now no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus. Christ's word remains as a warning for you, for your supposed ignorance, which will just aggravate, not help your case on the day of judgment. Condemnation is sure and has already begun if you still refuse to believe. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed the name of the only Son of God. This is the condemnation. This is what ruins souls, that they shut their eyes against the light, refuse to recognize Christ and this gospel. They defy God and do not want knowledge of his ways. As Job 21:14 says, they say to God, "Depart from us. We do not desire the knowledge of your ways." My friends, and I quote, we must account in the judgment not only for the knowledge we had and used not, but for the knowledge we might have had and would not. Not only for the knowledge we sinned against, but for the knowledge we sinned away. And I say to you again, heed this warning today. When Christ came into the world, the judgment started, because willful ignorance is never an excuse for sin. And on that great day, it will aggravate condemnation. Brothers and sisters, those of us who have trusted in Christ alone for our salvation, who have by God's grace and mercy believed on the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, have come to the new birth. Here is a great encouragement for us in our fifth and final observation. Finally, and in contrast, when Christ came into the world, those who came to the light were justified. Those who came to the light were justified. Verse 21 of our text, but whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. We need not hide from the light. The true child of God comes to the light. He loves the light that exposes sin in his heart and continues to reveal his remaining sin day after day. But we are not afraid of the light. We love the light. We are now able to hate the darkness that had a hold over us, to which we were enslaved. But now that we have come to the light, believed on Christ, and found there at the cross forgiveness for our sin, we no longer fear, for we've been justified by faith. We are those who practice the truth, and our works no longer condemn us. And the good works that we don't do to try and appease a dark and sinful conscience, to better ourselves or to try and pay for our sin. No, they are good works which were prepared in advance for us to do as we walk in gospel obedience. And when Christ views us today as believers, it is as he looked upon Nathanael there in John 1:47, as those who believe, and he could say of him, Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him and said, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit. There is no more condemnation. I am forgiven. I have been pardoned. Whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. This is the mark of the true child of God. He walks in the light. He comes to the light so that what is clearly evident, that the works that he does have been carried out in God. And brothers and sisters, even when we sin, as we do daily in thought and word and deed, we don't need to scurry like those cockroaches because we love darkness. So we love the light, for that healing fountain continues to flow from the cross. And as we come to the light, even when we sin, we come with our sin. In the Gospel of John, the writer picks up this theme again of gospel light in the first epistle of John. And I'm going to read this as we close today. And take this as a great encouragement to those who have come to the light. Let us continue to come to the light, to live in obedience to the light, and worship our Savior who has brought the light, the gospel, into the world because of the great love of God. Listen to 1 John 1 from verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of his Son Jesus cleanses us from all our sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Brothers and sisters, even when we sin, we come to the light and we say, confess my sin, and he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. We can come to the light. We can walk in the light. We can walk in lives of obedience. Whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we rejoice once again at this glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. How we thank you that the true light has come into the world. How we thank you for the gospel of peace, of which we are partakers even today. Lord, how we thank you that we need not hide, and we thank you that your light continues to expose sin. And we pray for any here who has not come to the light. We pray that they may hear the appeal of the gospel, that they may hear that by coming to Christ and believing on him, repenting from their sins and trusting in Christ and Christ alone for their salvation, they may have eternal life. Lord, help us as believers to rejoice in the gospel. Help us to be drawn to the light. Help us to love the light. Help us to love your law and your word, to hide it in our hearts, to live as those whose deeds are clearly done in God. How we thank you for our Savior who loved us and died for us. We bless you for this, and we pray for those who without Christ, without God in the world, family members, friends, people here today. We pray that the light of the gospel may draw them to yourself. You, by your Spirit, would grant the new birth, that we may believe in you, whom to know is life everlasting. We pray these things in Christ's name with thanksgiving. Amen.